Hey, this is Christian Horn of Part Time Fanboy. I am just opening up this episode with a bit of a program note. Our special guest this week, Suzanne Clores, has a website called The Extraordinary Project. And during the course of this episode, I say to visit theextraordinaryproject.com. That is not the URL you should be visiting. You should be visiting theextraordinaryproject.org. It's a great website. Check it out after you finish listening to this episode. And I hope that you all enjoy the OA on Netflix. And if you haven't seen it yet, definitely check it out. All right, on to the podcast. Thanks for listening.
Part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
This is Part-Time Fanboy, and my name is Christian Horn, and I have on the line with me my good friend Jay Holtham, and we also have a special guest with us. We have my old friend, Suzanne Clores, and she is in charge of the Extraordinary Project online. And Suzanne, why don't you tell us a little bit about that before we get started? About what we're really here to talk about, which is kind of in line. I had you on. It's not exactly, well, it'll come clear once we talk more about it, I think.
Oh, yeah. Sure. So a few years ago, I started thinking about ordinary people's psychic experiences, just random moments where you feel like you had a dream and that dream came to pass, or you had a weird feeling about someone and then that person popped up in your day somehow. And I started thinking about how those aren't really collected anywhere and not really talked about or explained. Mm-hmm. And so thinking big, I was like, oh, I can just start an extraordinary project and call it, you know, these are all extraordinary experiences. That's what they're known in science, because they don't really fit with typical scientific explanations all the time. So I started collecting people's stories, and now, you know, I have a few hundred, and they really range. They're kind of all over the place, from near-death experiences to telepathic moments to precognitive dreams to contacting the dead. Just many, everything you can think of really falls under the umbrella of the extraordinary.
Yeah, and you've been into this for a while, right? You've been researching these sort of things for a while now, because... Yeah, I would say, God, I can't remember when you started talking to me about this, but it was a while ago.
Mm-hmm. It was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so your website is theextraordinaryproject.com, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And you've got some stuff collected there, correct? I just looked it up today.
Go on.
Oh, no. I've always thought it was really fascinating. Obviously, being sort of like a science fiction whatever sort of fan growing up, like comic books and stuff like that, I've always been open to these sort of experiences, sort of like wondering, you know, what is, I think you're sort of more open to this sort of thing when you've grown up being a fan of that sort of thing. So looking into that sort of thing, like in real life, and, you know, what are the occurrences? Because a lot of people tend to sort of like poo-poo that sort of stuff. But knowing somebody personally who takes it quite seriously and has told, you know, related stories to me that other people have told and stuff like that, I find it just extremely fascinating. And that's why I wanted to have you on this episode, because Netflix debuted a show back in, I believe it was early December, called The OA, which I think touches on some of the same things that Suzanne has been researching or talking about for years, and is also hits the sort of sci-fi nerd fantasy button that Jay and I are mm-hmm. hardcore into. Plus, I think it's a very compelling and powerful show, 8 episodes of kind of what is this? You know, sort of like, what is happening? So, I mean, I think, you know, I just wanted to have Suzanne on because I think she's sort of, I mean, the person closest to me that I would consider an expert on this sort of thing and would have like a really interesting and valued, in my mind, opinion as to like what this show is addressing and what it's talking about. Because I know that ever since I started watching it and I finished watching it, I've sort of been rolling it around in my head again and again and again, because I think it's kind of one of the most unique things I've seen on TV.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you.
Yeah. What about you, Jay?
Same thing here. I mean, I've had so many conversations about it in the last couple of weeks. And with every conversation, my like amazement and interest and sort of love for the show has grown, because it's literally unlike anything else that I've seen on TV, maybe ever, if not in a really long time. It's such an odd sort of singular vision that was really impressive.
Yeah.
And really exciting, because it also just like showed up one day with no advance warning. It was almost like a secret drop, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that I read like an article online, and I think I saw like it came up in my Netflix queue, like the OA, like, you know how like if you're watching on the TV and then it just like this random thing will come up and they like sort of select things for you. And I was just like, what is that? And it looked kind of like the original image that I remember seeing was somebody in the headgear. And it looked like something out of Brazil or like, you know, Metropolis or something, you know, where I was like, that looks interesting. And then I kind of didn't go back to it up until like the actual holidays when I had free time to watch it, you know, and family was here and people would be sleeping or passed out early because, you know, the holidays and, you know, so I would be up and I would be watching it. And I think it just, it's definitely the sort of thing that, it's a really strong, I think it's a really powerful watch. I think it like something about it just like really just nailed me from the beginning. And then, just took me all the way through up until the end, to the point of where, when I got to the final episode, and I actually, rewatched the first episode and the final episode this morning, just, for this episode, cause I wanted to see the beginning and the end, like, and compare them. And there is something that they did, and not to jump ahead too much, there's something that they did at the end of the episode at the end of the series for me, that, you know how like you'll go see a movie and it'll make you cry or get like an emotional response. And then if you see it again, you're like, oh, I'm ready for this. I'm not going to cry, like blah, 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 or whatever. This isn't going to have this. It had the same exact effect. Like, and this was like,
oh my God.
Yeah. So,
that end, I mean, it was so, there's so many trauma triggers throughout the whole thing. I think, like, I mean, to have, can we do spoilers on this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're spoiling it.
We're spoiling.
We spoil the hell out of everything. That's why people hate us.
Yeah.
We spoil.
I'm so glad to be a part of that. So, I just think we had gotten to such a level of trust with all the characters and with the OA. And then when the school shooter shows up, like, that's such a culturally traumatic thing for us as Americans right now. I don't think I've ever seen that dramatized. I mean, maybe they have, other shows have dramatized it, but I really didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no.
And so that was, I think that combined with, you know, the five movements and the moment, is it all going to come together? I don't know. Like, there was just so much tension, and I personally felt so traumatized by the show anyway, in a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think like, and that maybe was intentional. I would love to know what you guys think, but in terms of the storytelling and the protagonist, the OA, like, she's so traumatized that, and she's telling her story, and you don't really know, like, is this person telling the truth, or are they just in a crazy state of PTSD and they're making up what they think happened, right?
Yeah.
That was the part, it's in like the 11th episode. It's not the 11th episode, second and last episode. I always feel that it's longer. I was so shocked when it was like only 8 episodes and just still haven't quite wrapped my brain around how all that happened in 8 episodes. But there's the one where she goes to Fridays with her parents.
Olive Garden.
And like, her mother has that breakdown, but then they go to it is the last episode. It's after they go to, they run away and she's been exposed, whatever she's been doing with the people has been exposed. And she starts telling them the story of what happened. And it felt like what she was describing didn't match what we saw.
Exactly.
And I started to feel like it was in the Olive Garden scene that I realized that, like, oh, wait, this is a girl who had psychotic breaks from when she was a child.
Yeah.
She may have just had a psychotic break. Yeah. Like, that could have been this whole thing, and none of this could have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wait, let's talk about the plot a little bit before we move on for anyone who has not seen the show. And why are you listening to this if you haven't seen the show? But anyway, regardless, you know, I mean, the basics of it is, I mean, and watching the pilot episode, like, that is an amazing pilot. First of all, that is an amazing first episode. But the basics of the show are that there is a woman, she's been missing for 7 years. She shows up, doesn't necessarily remember where she's been or who she is. And before she was kidnapped, she was blind or disappeared. And then when she reappears in the world and is reunited with her parents, she has regained her sight. And it's an exploration of sort of what happened to her when she was gone, there are metaphysical issues that are like attached to that. She's sort of part of a medical experiment gone awry. You know, so, but the basics of the show are somebody who has been abducted or kidnapped or disappeared and sort of like trying to regain their life and figure out like what's going on. And it goes into some really, out there directions, which you wouldn't expect to see from a show like this. Right. I mean, does that sort of like encapsulate it a little bit?
Very much. Yeah. Very much.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very interesting that you mentioned the psychotic break, Jay, because it's really funny. I read an interview with Britt Marling, who is the star of the show. And a lot of what she was talking about was the nature of storytelling. And what unfolds as the series goes on is that the OA, as she calls herself, or Prairie, which is her given name by her parents, the name of the show is the name of the title character, the OA, which is what she's calling herself after she comes back from being abducted, is that she gathers sort of 5 people from the community for some sort of purpose and claims that she needs them to be strong and flexible and dependable so that they can help her with something that she needs to achieve, but you don't know what it is until you sort of start hearing the story of what happened to her from her own mouth as she's telling it. And Britt Marling was very much talking about the nature of storytelling, the nature of somebody telling you a story, the nature of you sort of wanting to believe a trusted storyteller, somebody like presenting a story to you and you being very much like, okay, I'm in this, like, I believe everything you're telling me. And then sort of how that, whether it's true or not, how that affects your life and what, even if it's not true, what you got out of it might be more important than it being true. Does that make sense?
And go on, Jay.
I was going to say, and even to a certain degree, believing in a story makes it true as well, I feel like, is part of what they're after.
Yeah.
Well, and that whole process of her getting, I thought it was fascinating, like her finding these people and actively asking them to trust her and to close their eyes and let her in, open their front doors, which I think we talked about is a vampire thing. Like, you have to let me in.
Yeah. Oh, good point.
So like that kind of sent me off. And then just from my last few years researching, I did a lot of work with the near-death experience and people who suffer near-death experiences and the stories they tell afterwards. It requires the same kind of trust from the listener. And there's like a name for the listener in an NDE situation, like the person who's listening to someone else tell an NDE. And they found this across, like, veterans have NDEs, and like tons of veterans have NDE stories because they're so close to death, often. But you have to kind of deal with the fact that what they're about to tell you makes no sense in according to our current reality.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't. Like, it's going to sound like a fantasy. And yet, if you listen with an open mind, it can be a really transforming experience. Because if you believe what they're saying, and they've come back to tell you this story, and they're all kind of the same. Like, I thought the way they depicted the near-death experience was amazingly accurate. It's so cool to see that dramatized. But yeah, you're not quite, like, once you're kind of involved in that story, your reality changes. You're like, oh, okay, so this is possible for a small percentage of the population. Like, you leave your body and you go out into the universe and you have conversations with spirit guides, and then you come back and you have like a different life, you know?
Yeah. That it's really interesting, because it's funny that you say that. And see, the way this whole thing starts to unravel, especially as soon as, or like reveal itself, not unravel, because I think it's very well put together certain ways. And in other ways, it's very much like, what just happened? But watching the first episode again, the thing that you just said about like listening to somebody and trusting in the story that they're about to tell you, that is really a whole bunch of what like the first episode is about, because you're watching that first episode and you're sort of being exposed, and automatically your trust is open, because you're like, this person is a victim of a crime, is alone and hurt and doesn't know where she is. So you want to open yourself up to that. And then like as the episode builds and you get to the point where they're all in the house and she's about to like reveal the beginning of her story, the tonal shift in that first episode, like, it's automatically, they're in this little house, they're in this little, you know, they're talking to each other, the candles are there, and she says, you know, I was born in Russia in 1986 or something like that, or 87 or something like that. And the sort of punk kid goes like, bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? And that is like my automatic, like, I specifically remember watching that episode and going like, wait, what? Like, where are we going? And then visually, there is that amazing shift. It cuts, and there's this wide helicopter shot of like Russia or like in snow. And then the music cuts in, and you're in another world. Like, they immediately are like, you are going to somebody else. And then the credits cut in, and you're like, wait, that's supposed to happen at the beginning of the show. So immediately, and this is like the second time I watched it, and it hit me again, where I was just like, yeah, we're going on a voyage. Like, all of a sudden, there's this incredible shift, and you've kind of already been sucked in, and now the story's about to be told. And at that moment, the story is crazy. I mean, the beginning of the story is, I was a little girl and I was a daughter of Russian oligarchs, and you're just sort of like, wait, what? But at that point, you're so sucked in that it's just like, well, all right, I guess this is what we're going to do, you know?
When it got to that part for me, I felt like, I thought it was like, oh, that's cool. They're doing the end credit. They're doing the credits at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Wait, the episode's still going? Wait, she's still talking. Wait, that was, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. I thought
that's
it was
a good point. And,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, yeah, that moment where you're kind of surprised. I think for me throughout, even that first episode, that kind of put me on edge a little bit, because I was like, wait, I thought you were this person.
Yeah.
But now you're telling me you're this person.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you're not a victim, you know?
That's really funny because at no point did I not think that she wasn't a victim. Like, I mean, at some point I knew that even at the end, like when everything sort of starts to unravel and you're sort of given all these clues as to like, she's definitely been kidnapped. She definitely disappeared for 7 years. That we know something and something weird happened to her. But for me, I do identify with what you're talking about because it was like, wait a minute, I thought you were just like this little girl from like a town in upstate New York or whatever, and it's cold, and this is like a whole, you know, vibe that you've got going. Maybe it's filmed in Canada, but I think it was shot in upstate New York, and you're just like me, and then or you're just like everyone else. You're sort of like, you know, middle class, upper middle class, whatever, raised in this small town, and you know, I can really identify with you. And then when that shift happens, it's like, wait a minute, you're like this kid, Russian oligarchs, and there's like, and there's the Russian mob, and you're eating egg creams or whatever those things are called that they're, you know, and then you fall into the ice and like you go blind. Like that's definitely a huge like shift in the storytelling where it's like, you're very right. And you're very right, Suzanne, where it's like very much like, oh, I thought you were this, but now you're this. Do I still believe in it? And I think at that point, it would be really easy for people to sort of lose their sort of suspension of disbelief in the story. But I also think that these people were so good at what they were doing that it just kept me in. And I remember I was up late, like during the holidays, and I was like, the episode ended and I was tired. And I was like, I really want to watch the second episode right now. Like they really sucked me in.
Yeah.
Was it a tone thing, do you think? I just thought like the tone was so kind of weird and intense.
Yeah.
It just like it didn't give anything away, you know?
No.
Yeah.
It was, and it's totally unpredictable. Like, yeah, I watch a lot of TV shows, and even very good TV shows can surprise you, but they largely unfold in like fairly sort of predictable ways and things happen. And this was like, I had that same thing. I was like, I really don't know what's going to happen next. Or where it's gonna go, or how it's sort of gonna get out of these corners it seems to paint itself into. I mean, I watched it relatively early. I think I started watching it like maybe a week or so after it premiered. And like I said, like Netflix just dropped it out of nowhere. With like no forewarning at all. I have Britt Marling and Zal Martinijudge.
It's Batman.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing
that. He's got Batman in his name. Batman, the director.
Yeah, but yeah.
I can't
There's
pronounce
a Batman
it.
In there.
Batman Jolie. But, yeah, sorry, yeah. I apologize.
It but ends in a J.
Yeah. Batman, it ends in a J. But I haven't seen, I've never seen any of their films. Other friends of mine have really like spoken highly of them. I guess they're a little bit divisive. I know some people who really don't care for them.
Yeah.
But it was, so I didn't know what I was getting into. And then, the same thing. I was just like, I just sort of plowed through it because I wanted to know what was going to happen. I couldn't see around the corner.
Yeah.
Which was a nice feeling. And that it does have that weird, that tone that's sort of both super earnest, like so painfully earnest that you're like, you can't be serious. once they get into the movements, I'm like, you're doing interpretive dance to save the world? Really? Guys, that's what's okay.
But that's the thing.
That broke the wall a little bit for me, I have to say.
Did it really? Because that's what's so fascinating to me is that there were definitely a lot of things that where I definitely went like, come on. Like I definitely had a problem with Britt Marling's character, Prairie, being in New York City and playing like the violin in like the street subways, and then a guy coming up to her and being like, hey, I'm like, have you been a New Yorker long? Because you don't just go walking off with somebody. I'm sorry, we're all from the East Coast. We know this. Like, you know, it's like the number one rule. Don't go walking off with a stranger. But, you know, there's definitely story things in there. And like you guys said, like the dance thing kind of threw me off. But it you nailed it, Jay. The earnestness of it, like the thing that I think I really attached on to this is that I felt like this is a piece of artwork where the people really believed or... Not believed, but Like, they were involved in the creation of a thing that they were really attached to. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of TV shows that I think you, Jay, and I like that obviously the people are dedicated. Obviously the people are into what they're making and want to make the best product possible. But I feel like there was a core here that was coming from the creators of the show that seeped through, you know what I mean? And maybe that is earnestness, or there's another word for that I'm not latching onto. But I was like, whoever's making this is into this and is like, and not into, you know, the editing, or obviously I believe that it is very expertly edited. I feel like it is expertly directed. I feel like the music is beautiful. But it's really funny because, like, once they get to the dance thing, I remember being sort of like, what? But I'm like, this is so different from everything that I think I'm more in now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think, and having been into sort of like, you know, done yoga and spoken to people who are like hardcore into yoga, like really into like the spirituality of stuff like that. And which is not something that I necessarily identify with, but, you know, knowing people who are sort of into that or into their own spirituality that is outside of like religion. There's a part of me that like, just like, was like, I get where you're coming from. Like, I understand this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It
yeah. Does. I think so. I have a little bit of a different take. I think one of the things that I carried through, like the first couple of episodes I watched when I was healthy, and then I got a really bad cold and I was down for a few days. And so I binge watched everything else.
Oh no.
and like already kind of feeling low. So all those episodes where we spent in the basement, in the lab with them, I was just like, there was this strange pacing that I identified with, because they were trapped in the basement. And then in the house where the storytelling was going on, like all those five people were sort of trapped in the storytelling. Like there was no action happening in the show. Like there was just kind of her keeping them like seduced, basically. Mm-hmm. So I see her as kind of an unreliable narrator, because she disappeared. We don't know her story. We know her parents thought she was mentally ill. She says she isn't mentally ill, but she also had all these NDEs. So if you have a narrator who you can't trust, but then at the same time, you really want to trust her. Like, I think the earnestness made me want to trust her. It almost felt like a documentary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It almost felt real. Like this is, and so like after a couple of episodes, I was like, wait a minute, this isn't real. Like, you don't have to give your trust to this person, because she's kind of trapping these people, telling them this crazy story. And I don't know. I think because there were so many things that didn't really add up. And even though it's totally in her corner, I still felt like this woman is unreliable. Like, it can't just be that, like, why are these people actually trusting her? Like, she's lovely, but there are all of these things that don't match.
No, I get what you're saying, and I feel like you're opening up my mind to what it is about this show that I really tapped into. And part of it is, you guys both know me from whatever, you know, different eras in my life, and what we've been friends, you know, we've touched base and stuff like that on and off. But I mean, I think you guys know that I'm kind of cynical about certain things. I'm religiously agnostic and stuff like that. But like, the joke that I always have with my wife is like, you know, the X-Files is like, everyone would think I was a Mulder, but I'm really Scully. I'm like, no. I need to see it. I need to have the evidence. I'm not just going to believe what you're telling me. But there is that thing about the X-Files where it's like, I want to believe. And this show, can I tell you guys right now, this show hardcore tapped into that thing inside of me, which is like, I really, really want to believe. And I feel like, Suzanne, you're I think what you're saying is like, as the unreliable narrator, we all have these issues with people that, you know, people that we first meet, or people that we like first meet and we tap into, like right away, we're like, wow, I really like, I feel like I've known this person all my life, but do I? I shouldn't trust them, you know, especially being from back east around a big city where we're all from, or having grown up the whatever ways we did traveling. And, you know, there's always that sort of thing of like pushing away. And something about this show really tapped into that thing of mine, which is like, I want to believe. Like, I really want this to go somewhere. I want you to take me on a journey. And so they were very successful with that. And I think you're right, Suzanne, in that they're saying, like, she does have these people trapped. And I felt trapped while I was watching the show, because I was like, this thing better turn around at some point, because I'm getting sick and tired of this. I need to know where we're going. And I think Jay saw my post on Facebook where I was like, episode five, the end of episode five, I was like, okay, All right. Now I think we're going somewhere. Okay. I think we're finally, you know, and it's funny that you say that it felt realistic, Suzanne, because I think I told Jay a while ago that the filmmaking in this show really reminds me of one of what used to be one of my favorite directors, still kind of is, I mean, one of my favorite directors in the 90s and early 2000s, Adam Egoyan, who I believe that's how you pronounce his name. And this reminded me a lot of like stuff like what he had done, like the Sweet Hereafter, Exotica and stuff like that, where I was like, wow, I'm getting a serious Adam Egoyan vibe off of this. And that was one of the things that he was very good at, was sort of establishing this thing where, you know, like on TV, sometimes things happen like so fast, and this was like a slow burn. Like you started getting, you would get impatient with it, and then something would happen and you'd be like, that was crazy. Like, this was crazy. Why is this crazy thing happening? Like, how do you explain that? You know? And I think Jay, you're right. Like the dance thing was definitely the thing where I was like, this is crazy, but you know, I'm this far in. So, you know, like, let's go, you know?
But for me, it was episode five. It was when they used the dance and they resurrected the guy. That was like, okay, now I need to see where this is going.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it always did feel like there was that part of it, and in a good way. It always felt sort of silly, like, what's going on? Where's this? What's this? Until the end. And when the school shooting happens, and just like, even though I knew it was coming, I was so like, it's one of those things where I'm super invested in, like, that entire thing. I was like, come on, guys, get up and do it. I also, just to see, like, what's it going to do? What's it going to do? And then once they started, it was like, what's going to happen at the end of this? I don't know. Are they all going to disappear? Is the shooter going to disappear? I don't know where this is going. And, like, my heart was, like, legit in my throat that whole time.
So the dance thing. Okay. So I think it was powerful, you know, it was powerful. But the whole time while I'm watching all through these episodes, because there's so many little puzzles, I started thinking, maybe this means, like, back to the unreliable narrator, like, I trust her. She believes what she's saying, but maybe she's not who we think she is. And like, so I started thinking about it a little more. I was thinking, like, okay, original angel, that is, when I think about an angel, I don't really talk to people who talk about angels that much.
Yeah.
I mean, I do talk to a lot of people who talk about extraordinary things, but, you know, not often angels.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty distant from my Catholic upbringing, but I'm pretty sure the original angel was Lucifer.
Oh, wow. That is a good point.
And Lucifer, so then I started researching, and Lucifer translated in Latin means bearer of light and bringer of light. And there's this whole subset of, I don't want to go on and on about this, but like, there's this whole subset of belief, like Luciferianism, and people who believed in Lucifer, like the story, according to Luciferians, is that he was cast out for using, kind of like the snake in the Garden of Eden, like he was cast out for using his mind and being connected to thought and the subconscious and change, right? And so so then I started thinking about the people, like she needed five people, and five points creates a pentagram. You know, and when you have a pentagram, that opens a portal to another dimension. Like, that's a basic Wiccan practice, and it's not necessarily evil, but Christianity has made it evil.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, maybe this is a retelling of the story of Lucifer. Like,
ooh,
maybe, wow. And like, maybe this is their take on, like, what the real story of the original angel is, you know, and how, not to say that, like, she's necessarily evil, but, like, almost like the book and the play Wicked did for the Wicked Witch of the West, like, maybe right. They're making her a sympathetic character. You know, I don't know. There's just like a.
is why we have Suzanne Flores on the podcast, people. This is why we have. No, I mean, that's a really good kind of breakdown of things. You know, it's really funny because I was raised Catholic, and mm-hmm. once she said like the original angel, like towards the end of the episodes, there was definitely a part of me that was like, you know what? I'm so glad that you didn't reveal that earlier on, because I would have checked.
Yes.
I would have checked right out. I would have been like, no.
Me too.
And, you know, that is my own. I will admit that is my own prejudice towards my Catholic upbringing, and you know whatever else the patriarchal Catholic Church has done in the, mm-hmm. in their 2,000 year history or whatever. Yeah, I definitely get wary around that. And but I also don't believe that, like, in the context of the show, the overt context, not what you're talking about, Suzanne, that they mm-hmm. mean angel, like I've got wings and I'm descended from heaven and the Holy Host and mm-hmm. all that. I think that it means something mm-hmm. else. I think this is more of sort of like a general spirituality, but that's a really interesting take on it. I hadn't even like, what original angel, like that's a really good, like Lucifer, like the whole thing, like that's blowing my mind.
Yeah, that's great. I have not thought about that at all.
I don't know, but like you did kind of, because you were saying you had the same trigger when she said original angel. You were like, oh God.
Yeah.
Right? A little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, not a little bit. Not a little bit. I was like, oh, you are lucky that you did not mention it. Because I thought the OA was going to be some cool sci-fi, like, what so is it? The oversion, aversion thing. Or, I don't know. The, you know, whatever, some sci-fi gobbledygook that they were going to make up. And she's like, I'm the original angel. And then her mother slaps her, right? Like, in the...
Right.
Yeah.
That happens in the Olive Garden, right?
Exactly.
And I was like, of all places for it to be revealed, the Olive Garden, but whatever.
Yeah,
they have free breadsticks, right, I don't know.
But I mean, like, that's even a symbol too. I read that the creators spent 2 years researching everything, and nothing is a coincidence. Like, it's so mm-hmm. heavy symbolized, and who knows, this is kind of like an out there theory, but because I had so many questions, I started thinking, like, where could this possibly go? Like, really, where are they going with this dance? Like, how, like, they have to kind of ground this in something that we get, because they lost so many people with that dance. Honestly.
Did,
like,
they really?
I think they really.
I know a lot of people hate this show. I know a lot of people were like, this was boring. They hated it. They just were like not into it. But something about it like sucked me in, even the dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I get it made a lot of sense. Like, you're right about yoga and consciousness. And if you do enough breath work, your reality changes, you know, like if you do enough, it does. It really does shift. But that's the same idea behind Wiccan chanting also, or any kind of, you know, pre-Christian ceremonial gatherings. Like, they all have methods of changing consciousness, and if you change consciousness, then you change behavior.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I'm kind of going off in a crazy direction now. Wait, what about, what did you think about all the markings on her skin? Like, did you think she really made them herself?
I mean,
scars.
I don't know.
if you are sucked into the narrative of like what happened to her, which I do believe there was, I was one of the suckers that was like, I still think, even with what happened at the end, you know, because at the end there's sort of like this revelation, like she has these books and she, you know, the thing is like, did she make the whole thing up? And I'm like, it's too convenient because the FBI guy is there. And, has she been bugged this whole time? Because apparently, like, he was like, well, you know, she's been telling me about you guys, but she didn't tell me about, like, how she was captive. Like, there's definitely right. something sinister there going on with the FBI, mm-hmm. FBI guy. So even when that was sort of revealed, like once you were going sort of down that path of like, I was like, please mm-hmm. don't, please don't. Cause I, like it was, mm-hmm. it started happening. And I was like, if you tell me that I've been watching 7 episodes of a goddamn dream, I'm going to be really, really pissed off. You know what I mean? And they sort of go that way, but they leave you enough doubt to where there's a part of me where it's like, I believe that this happened. And I also think like the very final shot, you know, which having watched the last episode this morning, I feel it's sort of almost a vindication of like what she was talking about, because like, I don't know, like it's so weird. Oh, we're going to start getting into the gobbledygook now, because they're you know, the whole yep. thing is like, once you get to that last episode, so the dance is meant what she's trying to use the dance for, she's trying to get back to Homer. Homer is one of the people mm-hmm. that she was kidnapped with. What you end up finding out in the course of the show is that, five other people have been yeah. have been trapped with her, and they are all victims of a scientific experiment by a guy who is researching, you know, near-death experiences, NDEs. And mm-hmm. in the course of events, she doesn't escape, but she's banished from the experiment because the researcher, his name is Hap, I believe, finds out what he feels he needs to know, and he banishes her because she's sort of the most influential of the bunch, or has helped him make the breakthrough the most. And in the course of this show, she's talking to four teenagers and one adult, which is the teacher, who is amazing mm-hmm. in this.
Yeah.
Watching that first scene in the first episode where she sort of has that transformation where they talk back and forth about why did you start teaching and all that.
Yep.
I don't want to get sidetracked. But anyway, the whole point of her speaking to these people about her experience and relating to them why they have to do this, learn this dance that she is going to teach them, is so that she can reach the other side by the end
yep.
to get back to Homer, the person who
mm-hmm. yep.
was also being experimented on, who she fell in love with, and who has gone to another dimension because of his near-death experiences. By the time you get to the end of that final episode, there's a mm-hmm. shot. The what ends up happening is, yeah, see, this is like so weird to unpack. What ends right. up happening is there's a school shooting and she is napping. She wakes up, has a nosebleed, which sort of indicates that she's sort of having a premonition, because that's what happened in the yeah. beginning of the show when she was a child. And she wakes up mm-hmm. and she says, now I know what it is. She goes running downstairs. Mm-hmm. She sees her father at the front door and she goes, I know what's happening. I know what it is. And he trusts her so much that he lets her run out the door, which at that point, yeah. everyone can agree is the thing that her parents wouldn't want her to do, because they've been trying to keep her in the house and away from harm mm-hmm. this whole time. She mm-hmm. runs out the door, and basically, the culmination of this is that there's a school shooting. Everyone that's been in the room with her stands up and starts doing this dance that she taught them. He gets distracted. Okay. Somebody knocks him down, the school shooter. He gets distracted by the dance that they start doing in the cafeteria. He shoots the gun, and the gun hits Britt Marling's character. And she right. ends up going to the hospital. And then everything goes kind of black. And then there's a light. And then there's the word Homer. And you see her face and it's all white, and then it goes black again. And that's the end of the show. So yeah. if I am to take into account and believe that she, whatever she said was truthful, was her journey, or did the dance, did all these like little steps of fate move forward to get her to the point where she would die again and go visit Homer? Because isn't that sort of the breakthrough that they've all been doing? They've been being killed by Hap, the scientist, and then being brought back. And
right.
mm-hmm.
this dance was supposed to open up a dimensional door so that she could go see Homer again. And in the end, right. isn't that what it ended up doing? Just not in the way that, you know, because you look at these sci-fi shows and you would figure, oh, they all do the dance and then a portal opens up and it's like she walks through. But the way it actually happened was that she had to be killed, mm-hmm. right? Yep. Does any of what I just said make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that does make sense. And, like, but it's also weird because I remember there being, like, and when they put her in the ambulance is weird because the yes. lights in it are totally off. And yet there are these, like, flashes of light in the back. And you're like, wait, what's happening in this ambulance? And then, yeah, then all of a sudden she's maybe with Homer. We don't know. Yes. And it's a mystery. And it's beautiful and engaging. But it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense when you try to explain it to anyone.
And the lead punk kid goes running after the ambulance. And he's like, it's happening. Like, he has a realization. He's like, it's happening. It's happening now. Steve is the character's name.
Yeah.
Played by Patrick Gibson, who was, like, my favorite character in the whole show. Like, talk about, like, getting a character. Like, I'm like, wow, yeah, I kind of, like, understand where you're coming from. But, like, totally just, like, he starts running after it. And he's like, take me with you. Take me with you. And then that's it. Like, it's over. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, so powerful. But, Suzanne, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I think I'm with you, and I just don't know. The end was ambiguous. Like, I forgot that there was something strange about the ambulance, but I remember seeing it and then at the same time feeling like, wait, something's not right. Like, who's driving that ambulance? Is that really an ambulance? Like, is this, where's the rest of the recovery crew? Like, the Steve running after her and crying, saying it's happening. Like, I couldn't tell if he just found the whole thing so upsetting and he didn't want to leave her. Like, he felt abandoned now. Like, she left them, or and didn't know if she was coming back, or I don't know. I honestly I don't know what to think. I think. There's something about, but I felt this way the whole time. Like, there was something about her the whole time where I felt like she was really using them, and they even rebelled against that at a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe, I don't know. I mean, probably we'll see if she keeps her word. We'll see if she comes back. We'll see if they go with her. Like, it was definitely a heroic ending, but I don't know at all to what end, you know? And remember the line that they kept saying in the last episode, which was, it takes over and it flows like a river, or it pushes you like you're in an invisible river.
Yeah.
Right? And you're flowing away. They said that a couple of times. So maybe I wondered if that was what Steve was talking about. Like, it's happening. Like, we're in the invisible river, you know?
See, it's interesting to me because the way, I don't know, I mean, I feel like, and it really hit me when I watched that last episode again this morning. And obviously I had an emotional response again. Like, I really think, like, if you look at the beginning of the show, and I'm not trying to, like, interpret anything or, like, break anything down. I'm just saying, like, how it affected me and, like, what I... Mm-hmm. In the beginning of the show, it starts off with her trying to kill herself. She's jumping off a bridge. And...
Right? Maybe she's killing herself, but she... I don't know. She's jumping off a bridge, but we don't know why.
Well,
we don't know.
But the way that I would interpret it is because she's trying to get back to Homer. Like, she's trying to... But that didn't work out. So in my mind, and kind of like the sort of the way I definitely have perceived the world as an adult, like, I feel like she realized that trying to do it herself, or maybe she couldn't do it herself. She had to go into the river and let destiny kind of take over. Like, she had to.
Yeah.
And that dance was a way, teaching that dance was a way of her getting to that sort of bridge where she could cross over. But I think, like, the jumping off the bridge was too much of, like, I'm taking it into my own hands, I'm gonna do it myself. And it's like, and it's weird, it's almost going back to sort of like the Lucifer sort of Catholic or whatever way of thinking, which is like suicide, you know, it's a mortal sin. It's like, don't do it. Like, you are not, that is not gonna help you. Like, you're gonna go the wrong way. But if you sort of, like, are put into a stream of events that maybe you have set into place that may end up killing you, may not end up, like, I feel like so much of it, and I feel like this is why I had, I mean, there's a part of me that feels that in life you are, I don't know if your destiny is chosen out, but you are destined for certain things. Like, I do not know how it works. I can't espouse to say, like, I'm supposed to be here, or where I am is supposed to, things happen for a reason. I mean, that all sounds kind of trite. But, like, that moment at the end of the last episode that really nailed me, like, in the gut, was would they stand up and they start doing the dance and the music cuts in, and it's, like, perfectly cut and it's perfectly choreographed and it's perfectly, the music set in, and I was like, this is it. Like, this is your moment of destiny. Like, this is what you were doing it for. You know what I mean? There's something about that, the way that that moment, where the crescendo of events, where it's like, this is why we've all been doing it. And something about that, like that moment where, and everybody has it a couple of times in their life where you have an understanding of like what you're doing here or why you've been doing whatever it is you've been doing for a certain amount of time. Like that to me is that moment. And then when she gets shot, it's like, wait, what? And then, and then she gets taken away. And you're right. The stuff in the ambulance does happen. But for me, that's almost a, like the way that she perceives her own passing again, you know what I mean? The lights are flickering, things are, you know, it's just like really wild. Like, I feel like so much of that show, the way it's been plotted out, it feels natural, but so much of it is manipulation and, you know, sort of guiding us down a path. But in the end, I just felt like this is like a character meeting their destiny and where they, or a series of characters. And I think that that's why it nailed me so hard, because like in life, you don't know where you're going and you're confused and you're sort of like, what's happening and blah, blah, blah. And then every once in a while, you have a moment of clarity, or you have in like, this is why I'm supposed to be here. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing, or I'm here. You know, it's like that Rolling Stones, song. It's like, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. I don't know. It's just like really weird. Maybe I'm thinking too much about it, but for some reason it, the, as I said before, this show really nailed the part of me that was like, I want to believe. And then it was like, wait, I don't know if I can believe in you, which I believe Suzanne, you know, touched on. And then it was like, well, life is just going to take you where it's going to take you, and it's going to end up, and you're just not even going to know what, you know, and then at some point you'll be like, oh, this is kind of why I was here, which I don't think everybody has. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you're relieved that it finally made sense. It's like, you wanted to believe and it was so confusing and, and like so much work for the last, for the seven episodes, I thought, like just a lot of emotional work. And then it was, it was cathartic. It was like, okay, this, what she said, all those crazy things she said is kind of leading to something real, and it matters. Like, it really mattered. I get that. I get it. I definitely get it.
It's really wild. And it's funny because I think that, you know, there's people that I've seen online that thought, that were like, oh, it's boring, or I don't understand it, and blah, blah, blah. And I, it's really weird. I wasn't bored, but I remember like watching the first episode and I was like, look, either this is going to be amazing or it is going to be like teeth grindingly frustrating. I do not know which one it's going to be, because, you know, as soon as you get into something like this where it's like all questions are not answered, you know, I think you there's a lot of like lost trauma, you know, trauma from the show that Lost has imposed on all of us, which is like, just tell me what the bear is, god damn it, just tell me. You know what I mean? And you sort of are like, I don't want to do the work. But again, I feel like the people that made this show are sort of in touch with whatever, you know, maybe spirituality that they have or whatever, and that takes work. That takes, you know, self-discovery or opening up your mind or whatever. There's no easy path to that, and this show is kind of a little bit like that, where you're just sort of like, tell me. You know? And it's like, I'm not gonna.
It rewarded that. Like, I mean, like you're saying, I felt like I would, there are those kinds of shows that have that sort of like mystery thing. I remain a lost dead ender, loved it to the end. That is a conversation we'll have at another time.
Yes, we will.
But I know the trauma and that feeling of like, this isn't going to add up to something. And this did, even though it didn't answer everything, it still felt like it added up to a thing. And it still got that investment from me, like in the same way. Mm-hmm. It still got that, like, I really want to be here for this. And I really want to believe in it. And I have a crazy amount of trust that you're not, even if you're not going to answer everything, you're going to let us know.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to give us something. And they did. I felt like they gave us a lot.
Yeah.
And it was really, really lovely and enjoyable. And really, yeah, it really is about that faith, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you guys watch Stranger Things?
Yes. Of course.
I did as well.
Who are you talking to?
Okay. Well, okay, right. You got upset about Winona Ryder's hands.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's true.
But I wonder she has if Trump we hands. Would have...
They won't stay still.
Would we... I wonder, for me, I think what helped me stick with the show is that Stranger Things came before it, and I thought it was amazing in very different ways. But, like, that kind of opened the door to a different type of storytelling, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was sci-fi, but it was more than... I thought it was more than sci-fi in some ways. It was like, I don't know, just they did a lot of experimenting. And so I wonder if we would have the same reaction if we hadn't seen Stranger Things or Arrival or something.
I think I probably would have because, God, I mean, Stranger Things is definitely a really good show and a great show. I loved it. It was another one where I was like, oh, guess what, Amy? We're going to be watching Stranger Things tonight. Like, you know, it was like trying to binge watch it as much as two people with, you know, jobs and a kid can, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is Stranger Things, I think, is built on stuff that's very familiar to people. It's a callback to like Carpenter and Spielberg and Stephen King and all these things that we loved when we were growing up. And while I feel like there is a teeny bit of that in the OA, I feel like the OA is very, I mean, also reminiscent of a lot of things, but very sort of like original in like what it's presenting to us, because I don't recall another show that has been as compelling as this, that sort of has a spirituality to its core that I can buy into. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, this is not like, because to me, the OA is not sort of like a typical, and not to disparage Stranger Things because I'm, or anything else that is out there.
No,
but I think that the OA definitely has some sort of, not religious, but spirituality at its center that, you know, is a bit overt and but not hammering you over the head with it at the same time.
Yeah,
I think it really speaks to people who, I don't know, like have a very sort of like progressive mindset about, you know, aren't like stuck in like, hey, the world is this way and this is just it. And, you know, if you've sort of gone outside of like the bubble of whatever one religion that you were raised in, you know, and reading about different things and the what people believe, I think it really touches on all that. And again, it really just nailed for me, like, I want to believe, but there's a big part of me that's like, you know, you got to show me, you know, just show me, you know, show me the alien. Show it to me. I want to see it. You know what I mean? So show me the portal. But then I've been through enough in my life where I'm like, you know, not everything is going to be explained to you. You're not going to understand everything. And sometimes you just have to go with it. You know what I mean? So I'm a contradiction, I guess. I think we all are. But the one thing that I wanted to ask the both of you guys is by the end of the show, because at the end of the show, I was like, is that it? Like, are we done? Mm-hmm. Like, is this done? And I was like, we're not going to, like, I don't, what just happened? Like, I don't. And then I was like literally sitting there and it's like, I don't think I need any more. Like, I'm okay with this. Like, if this was the end, like, I think I'd be okay. Like, I don't really need it. And I don't think I've felt that with any show that sort of like, that was dependent on the mystery of like what it was or, you know, stuff like that and didn't necessarily answer all the questions at the end. Did you guys feel that way too?
Very, very much. I mean, it's a show that I really, really loved and was really invested in. And I would be perfectly satisfied, even if Netflix brought like the entire, like the cast and the writers and everyone back and they did something completely different.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with watching that. I'd be like, oh yeah, sign me up. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
If this was like an 8-hour indie movie, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
But if they have more stories to tell in this world, I'm also down for it. But
yeah.
I felt like not complete, but satisfied in a good way that like this told a complete story, even if it's just chapter one of a story.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Suzanne?
Mm-hmm. Part of me was relieved it was over.
It's a tough watch.
It was a tough watch, and I don't know. I think I'll definitely watch season two. I have no idea what to expect. They just didn't. I think like I got a little obsessed with the scars and how they got on her body, because she can't carve into her back. She can't do that.
That's a good point.
She didn't have a knife, and she didn't so one of them had a knife somehow, but like there were just all of these puzzles, and they weren't accidents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I did feel like there was more to the story that we're going to get. And I think it's not what we think. That's what my sense is. I think it's not what we think. And that's exciting. I think that's exciting.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's the thing is when it ended, I was like, again, it just gave me that Adam McGuigan feel. Like when his movies end, you're just sort of like, I was like, I'm going to miss these characters. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I had a really good experience. Like so many of the characters, like the teenagers and you know, the OA and, you know, even her parents and stuff like that. Like, I felt like whatever this show did it expertly where it was like, I know who these people are. You know what I mean? And I have been privileged to sort of been let into these characters' lives. And they felt real. And then when it was over, it was like when you read a good book where it was like, oh, man, I'm gonna miss these guys. But it's okay that I miss them. You know what I mean? Like, if we don't get to revisit it, I'm okay with that. Like, if this is the story that they were trying to tell, I'm okay with that. I'm not going to lie and not say that there weren't moments of frustration along the way where I was like, that would never happen, or you would never do that. Like, you know, like with Homer when they're in Cuba and he's like, well, you know, you can either, you know, run away and have all your friends die. I'd be like, oh, I guess they're all dead because I'm out of here. You know, there's that one taste of freedom where it was like,
I'm done.
Sorry, guys, I got to go. I'm swimming to Miami tomorrow. I don't know what you guys are doing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
I forgot about the Cuba trip. I forgot about the whole trip.
Oh, my God. That was definitely one of the sort of, it wasn't the more frustrating things, but there were definitely a lot of things where I was like, come on, really? No, we're getting out of here. I don't know what we're doing. Why are we sitting here at dinner with this guy? I guess all those guys are dead. They're dead anyway. He keeps killing them over and over. You know, there's a part of me that would have even said to him, like, you're not going to kill him because you need them. Like, there's no way you're going to kill him. Like, I could leave right now and you're still going to be doing your experiment somewhere, you know?
But you wouldn't know where they were.
That's true. You wouldn't know where they were.
Yeah. And I also didn't know, like, I didn't get why Hap let her go. I don't know. I know we're talking about closure, but like, these are the things that didn't get closed. Like, it didn't make sense to me that he let her go. Until then, I read Lucifer's story, and like, that's actually why God got rid of Lucifer.
Oh, but tossed him out.
There you go. But then, you know, she winds up, just following that, she winds up in the position of Hap with these new people.
Oh.
That she's the one holding them prisoner, asking them to do the move, because she brings she needs five of them in the same way he needed five of them. She's not one of them.
Wow.
She needs five of them to do the movements.
Yeah.
So she's now Hap.
Right.
Well, yeah, but she's not kidnapping them and you know, feeding them dog food or whatever.
She seduced them. She totally said she found them. And she even says that, like, I chose you. Like, he was like, and he said, you did not. And she said, are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Like, she's very open about what she's doing, but they're not seeing it because they think she's crazy and exciting.
Yeah.
Like, there's something not connecting about them as listeners Like, they listen, they take her very literally, but they're not, they're kind of like ignoring the other things because I think she charms them.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because there's definitely a part of me, especially when you sort of get into the house and stuff like that, where it's like, are we looking at sort of like the formation of a cult? Like when it first started, I was like, is this what we are sort of looking at? And then as it sort of went on, I'm like, is it? Isn't it? Like, what? Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm. What are we looking at here? Because again, like the whole, maybe I'm the sucker too, because like the whole part of me is like, again, we're presented with a victim who's been in a supposedly horrible situation, and your first instinct is to open yourself up to them, like help them and be like, you know, or be like who they are. And you're right, Suzanne, those kids were probably all like, well, what is her deal? She can't harm us because she's been through this event and we just need to find out like what's going on. Yeah, that's a really good point. It's really funny because you're sort of taking this like non-trust sort of angle.
I know.
And I'm like, I'm very much like, no, I absolutely believe her. I think she's great. I don't care how she got those scars on her back. So what does that say about my mind? Like, she could have scars. I don't know. Maybe she rubbed up against the wall. Maybe. I don't know. Like, you know, it's really funny. So I'm the sucker.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Not at all. I'm a little jaded also, too, because I know in TV, like, the female anti-hero is big, like Orange is the New Black and like Weeds and like even Gone Girl, like that's just like hot right now, like the anti-hero, like the woman who you like but you probably maybe wouldn't trust, or like who is kind of doing stuff in society that isn't approved of, but like you love them, you're in their corner, like you want, you know, you want to believe them. So I don't know, I'm maybe just a little bit suspicious. I'm just kind of waiting it out.
No, I think you hit on a lot of good points there, and I feel like I'm the viewer who just totally got sucked in and was like, "This is so great!" Like, you know,
it is great though.
No, I mean, there's definitely a point of me that where I was like, "Come on!" And then something would happen, and I'd be like, "Oh, okay, I forgot all about that." That doesn't matter. So, I mean, it's a good function. It is, and probably like Britt Marling herself said in that interview, where it's a function of really good storytelling, where if you meet a great storyteller, you're going to get sucked in, and, you know, you are going to want to believe whatever it is they tell you. So, wow. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
We've discovered that the OA is just one big trust exercise.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, so any final thoughts on this wonderful show that kind of screwed with my head and, you know, didn't, you know, let me sleep at night sometimes because I kept thinking about it?
I think we covered it.
Yeah, that's not at all.
It's good. Well, thank you for joining us, Suzanne. I really appreciate you coming on to this episode of Part-Time Fanboy. It's always great to talk to you in general.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, yeah. And
thank you.
And everyone should check out TheExtraordinaryProject.com. It starts with a the, and it's extraordinary and project, all spelled out, .com, because that's your site. And
actually, you know what? It's .org. You've been saying .com this whole time, and I was like, no, actually, it's .org.
Oh my God, people! I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I should have corrected you. That was my dream, that I was going to have a not-for-profit storytelling site with various types of media. Like, the podcast is in development now. So, anyway, check it out.
Yes, and once your podcast goes on, you got to let us know, and you know, maybe we can share on Facebook or whatever, Twitter and stuff like that, cuz I'm excited, cuz I love stuff like the stuff that you're exploring. So, and to actually, you know, believe that it actually exists. Obviously, I'm the cynic, but you know, again, I want to believe, just like Mulder.
Yeah.
Well, my name is Christian Horn, and I've been on the line with Jay Holtham and Suzanne Clores, and this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. Thank you for listening, and check us out soon for another episode, and follow us on Twitter, check us out on Facebook, blah, 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 all that great stuff. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode. Bye.
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 Part-time Fanboy.
Part-time. Oh, yeah, dude.